Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Over the years, you have felt it. You have felt that those around you, your culture, even people that you love, maybe even some family members, people that you work with, people that you otherwise would have good, jovial conversations with, you feel like there's this box, and you're allowed to have your faith in the one true God, this Jesus and his name, that is allowed to be in you and a part of you, but only inside of that box. When you are out in public, when you have relatives come over, in fact, you hear it every year before Thanksgiving and Christmas, they try to convince you there are two things you're not allowed to talk about. You've heard me mention it from the pulpit before. And that is religion and politics. I care very much that you do actually talk about that first one. The box that your culture, that our culture, that those surrounding us want us to keep our faith in, this is not what God desires for us. He does not desire us to keep our faith away from everybody. The devil does. And the devil doesn't want you to talk about Jesus, doesn't want you to share why you have hope, why you have joy when everything else seems to be falling and crumbling in darkness. Because the devil knows that there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in faith in Jesus. It will allow you to have this general God, the God that is placed on our currency, the God that is uttered in our Pledge of Allegiance. This is not the triune God. It is to us, this is our confession, we believe every time we're saying under God or in God we trust, we believe that this is about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there are countless of people that utter those same words that have rejected that God. They try to blanket Christianity in with Judaism or Islam, but this will not work. It will not work because there is only hope in the name of Jesus. And while Judaism and Islam both acknowledge that Jesus lived, they reject the most important point. They reject that Jesus is God in the flesh and that he died for the sins of the world. They might count him as a prophet or a man who tried to lead a rebellion against the Romans. But they outright reject that he is God who died for their sins. And when you reject that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he died for the sins of the world, that he was raised on the third day, that he ascended back to his throne, to reject these things is to reject the hope that you have. And so, of course, the devil wouldn't want you to talk about your faith in Jesus. Consider the words from Paul's letter, second letter to the Corinthians, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" You've heard me for years, and I will continue to do so, encourage our young people to wait on the Lord. A young Christian girl, that she would wait, that she would remain virtuous, that she would remain pure until God places the Christian man in her life who is willing to lay down his life for her, who is willing to lead her, pray for her, who will provide for her and protect her. That she stays true to God waiting on him to provide that man. And the same is true of the Christian man out there who is waiting for a wife. That he wait until the Lord provides and brings forth that woman that he has made for him. The woman who will encourage him. The woman who will pray for him. The woman who will be led by him. Who will help him. To join ourselves unequally to those who are stuck in darkness can, and we're thankful when it does, lead them out of the darkness and into the light, but can often do the other. You are allowed to have friends that aren't Christians. But if your fellowship is so wrapped up in that friendship that you are never, ever comfortable to ever tell them about why you are hopeful, if you would rather be caught dead than to tell them what you did on Sunday morning or Wednesday evening, then this is not a friendship that is going to build you up in the faith. You need to spend time with unbelievers because they need to see your hope. They need to see your light. But to cast yourself in full fellowship with it so that your hope and your joy and your light are gone, this is not what God desires for you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God has created you body and soul, and he dwells in you. What you look at, what you listen to, what you eat, what you consume, is it in line with what God has created for you? If it isn't, I encourage you, not because it will save you, but because you are saved, and because God has called you out of that darkness, I encourage you to spend more time in his word, to focus on the things that he does give, rather than longing for what he has not given. To be content with where you are, to be content with what God has given you. These promises, he calls you his son. He calls you his daughter. Whether you had the best father in the world or one that wouldn't even grace the house that you lived in, you have a father, an eternal one. A one that loves you so completely that wretched, ugly, and sinner though you were, he sent salvation for you. So he calls you and he says, my son, my daughter, there is a better way. Be not stuck in the darkness that the devil would have you in, but rather have fellowship in the light. Young men, I encourage you, not only to wait on the Lord for the spouse, the wife that God has proclaimed for you, and the same for our young women, but I encourage you also to build friendships, brotherhood, sisterhood within the fellowship here of your own church. And not just St. Peter's, but our synod, with those who confess the same things, that confess that the Bible is God's word. And maybe they'll even still talk to you about however Jordan Love did. But make sure that it's the first important things. That when you gather around that water cooler on Monday morning and your friends or coworkers ask you, hey, what'd you do this weekend? That you tell them, on Sunday I went to church. And I was reminded that while I am a sinner, I have a God that so loved me that he sent his son to die in my stead. Not only did he die, but he was raised. And he will return. He will return to judge the living and the dead, and I will be with him in paradise for all of eternity. The church sings. In these last days of great distress, grant us, dear Lord, true steadfastness, that we keep pure till life is spent, your holy word and sacrament, To hope grown dim, to hearts turned cold, speak tongues of fire and make us bold, to shine your word of saving grace into each dark and loveless place. Stay with us, Lord, and keep us true. Preserve our faith our whole life through. Your word alone, our heart's defense, the church's glorious confidence. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.